Rage. Goddess, sing the rage of Peleus' son Achilles, murderous, doomed. This is Homer's first description of Achilles and what guides his poem. We see his wrath define Achilles and influence his decisions. Achilles' wrath was seen moments before when he dragged the prince's body around the camp. He was able to indirectly influence Zeus to aid the Trojans just to show the Achaeans not to inflict his wrath. And yet it is an entirely different Achilles that we see with Priam in Book 24. Not only does he accept him into his tent, surrounded by enemies, but he also weeps with the Trojan king and is moved to tears by his speech. The moment in which Achilles is moved to tears is the moment that a reader can relate to both Achilles and Priam. They become real in this passage. Priam, not just the king of Troy, but a man who loves his son, and Achilles, not just the raging Greek fighter, but the man who loves his father and understands someone else's pain. Simone Weil, however, was convinced that the Iliad was a poem of force, as is discussed in her essay of the same title. In her argument, she focused on the nature of force in human affairs and applied this to the Iliad. She defines forces as something that turns anybody who is subjected to it into a thing. Weil holds this viewpoint in describing the meeting between Priam and Achilles in Book 24 of the Iliad. She suggests that Priam's words may have moved Achilles to tears, but Priam is just the object that Achilles rules over, that this is simply the freedom of attitude and movement of the one in power, in this case, Achilles. With this idea, it is implied that Achilles does not sympathize with Priam, but is remembering his own father and the death of his friend Patroclus. Perhaps this would be true if Achilles killed Priam or refused to give him Hector's body. However, he does neither of those things. Homer directly states that Achilles has pity for Priam's old age. This does not suggest that Achilles was expressing power over the Trojan king. What it does suggest is that Achilles' wrath had somewhat diminished. He sympathizes with the old man, taking his advice to remember his own father. Achilles has known from the beginning of the poem that he would not make it home to his father Peleus. In the moment in which Priam begs him to remember Peleus, Achilles comes to the realization that he would want his own father to be able to bury his body after the war. What is most important to remember to counter Weil's argument is that Homer uses the Greek word eika in describing the moment of action between the two men. Achilles does not simply push the old man away, but lifts him up gently, the English word gently being the translation of eika. Achilles takes Priam by the hand, a gesture of acceptance, and is overcome by emotion. As for the language of this passage, much of it has been seen before. We are reminded of the speech that Chryses made to Agamemnon, bearing a ransom for his daughter and reminding Agamemnon to beware of Apollo. The way that Homer sets up Priam's description of Hector also has importance. He speaks of his deeds and of his death, uttering the name last. This gives an effect of importance and allows the reader to understand how great Hector's death is to Priam. C.W. McLeod notes that Priam goes on nonetheless to treat Hector as his only son has an argumentative and emotive value. It stresses the analogy between himself and Peleus. It also represents the strength of his grief at losing Hector. In addition, the speech suggests an anti-war undertone. It is in this passage which we see the effects that war has on both fathers and warriors. Priam has lost his dearest son, and Achilles lost his dearest friend due to war. The emphasis on Priam's actions in this passage also make this clear. He is crouching at Achilles' feet, begging him, weeping for his son's body. We feel pity for Priam here. He has endured a decade-long war just to have it end with his son's death. Not only do we sympathize with Priam, but Peleus as well. We know that Achilles will not make it home after the war is over, and that Peleus will have to experience the same as Priam. McLeod also makes a good point about this in saying, fathers are bereaved in war. This is something frequently mentioned in the Iliad, and finds its culminating expression in Book 24, where Priam is the bereaved father par excellence, and where the loss of his only son stands out the more against the loss of so many others. Godlike Achilles, remember your own father, who is of such an old age as I, on the deadly threshold of age. It might be that his neighbors harass him, and there is no one to ward off war and ruin for him. But when hearing that you are alive, he rejoices, and his days are full of hope that he will see his dear son coming from Troy. But I am completely doomed. I brought the bravest sons in broad Troy, but of them I say there is not one left. I had 50 sons when the sons of the Achaeans first came. 19 were from one womb. Women in the palace bore the others for me. Violent Ares cut the knees from under most of these sons. This was my only surviving son. He guarded the city and its people. You have recently killed him as he guarded his fatherland, Hector. And so I have now come to the ships of the Achaeans in order to ransom him from you. I bring a huge ransom. But respect the gods, Achilles, and take pity on him, remembering your own father. But I am even more pitiful, for I have suffered such things as no other mortal man on earth has. I have put to my face the hands of the man who killed my sons. So he spoke. He stirred up in Achilles a longing to weep for his father. And so, grasping the old man by the hand, he gently pushed him away. They both remembered. Priam, remembering manslaying Hector, wept intensely, crouching at Achilles' feet. But Achilles wept for his own father, and then for Patroclus. Their wailing stirred up the house. But when godlike Achilles had his fill of grieving, and the longing for it left from his heart and body, he arose from his seat and raised the old man by the hand, pitying his white head and white beard. Mnesai patros soyo theois epi echelakiliu. Teleku hos per egon, o lou epi geraos udo. Kai men pu kanon perinaiatai. Amphis eontas, terus. Uda tis estin aren kai loigon amunai. Aletoi kanos ge sethen zdo ontos akuon. Kyre t'en thumo, epi tel petai e mata panta, obsesthai philon huion apo troiethen ionta. Alter ego panapotmos, epe tekon vias aristus troie en iurei. Ton deu tina femi lelephthai, Pentecontam moi eson hoteluthon huies achaion. Enachaideca men moi ies ec ne duos eson. Tustaulus moi atikton eni megaroisi kunaikes. Ton men polon thuros ares hupo gunata eluthsen. Hos de moi oios e'en, eruto de austu kai autus, ton zu troen, ctenas amunominon, peri patres, hectora. Tu nun he nec hincano, neas achaion, lusominos para seo, fero da peresi apoina. Alhai deo theus achilleu, autu delis eson, mnesamenos su patros, ego dele e notaros per, etlane dehoi u potis epicthonios brotos alos, andros paido noio, potistoma ker oregesthai, hos fato. To dara patros, huf himeron, orse gooio, apsamenos dahara, keros aposato, eka garanta. To de mnesamino, homen hectoros, androphonoio, clai hadina proparoitha, podon achilleos, elus thes, autar, Achilleus clai en eon pater, alote de auta patroclen. Ton das donace cata domata ore re. Autar epe ra goeo tetar peto dios Achilleus, kai hoi apo prapidon elphimeros adapo guion autikapo thronu orto garanta de kairos aniste oikten ron polion te kare polion te geneon.